Welcome to Grace Chapel, where the Word of God is not bound by religion, tradition, denomination, or political correctness.
You have the sovereignty of God, whereby we are sanctified by God's free grace. It is a work done by God. But then on the other hand, we have to reckon daily with that fact that we have been saved by God's grace, that we have been sanctified by God's grace, and we are to present our members, our body, our lifestyle, everything to the dominion of the Holy Spirit, who does a work within us continually every day so that we can live a life of holiness unto God. People want to just take Jesus and add him to what they're already doing. And so all they've done is added Jesus to their pagan lifestyles and think they're saved, and they are not. Because if you're truly saved, there's a change in your lifestyle.
This broadcast is brought to you by Air and Heat Service Company. Your comfort is our concern. Air and Heat Service Company, a Christian company based in Byhalia, Mississippi. For more information, visit airandheatservices.com. That's airandheatservices.com. Or call 1-888-845-9580. That's 1-888-845-9580. Air and Heat Service Company. Your comfort is our concern. Now let's join Pastor Jason Murphy with part two of the message entitled, How to Become What I Already Am.
You want to grow in your sanctification? Not only do you study the Bible, but you pray. By the way, you're going to notice in my list, there's nothing novel about this whatsoever. This has always been the way you grow. There are no shortcuts. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now listen, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. One of the pieces of armor that God has given us in our Christian spiritual lives as we war in this life for the kingdom of God is prayer. We are to pray at all times and in the Spirit, praying in unison with the Spirit, being prompted by the Holy Spirit. And to that end, keep alert, persevere, be alert, stay awake. Stay awake in your spiritual life. Stay awake. Here's another one. You want to grow in your spiritual life, number three? You want to grow in sanctification? Worship. Worship. That's part of it. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21, it reads, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Man, Paul wrote that like a long time ago, but it describes today, doesn't it? We need to be wise, make the best use of our time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. In the original, it's but being filled, like a continuous filling with the Holy Spirit. So we don't get drunk with wine. We're not under control of wine. We're under the control of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it is natural to engage in worship. It just comes out of you. You find yourself singing to the Lord. And you get lost in the presence of God. And you don't even realize how bad you sing. Right? Unless you're like me, and you have a microphone, and you forget to mute it. And you're singing, and everybody's trying to get your attention. Like, God, finally they have to mute it from up there, like, punch a button. But when you're filled with the Spirit, it just flows out of you. You can't help but worship God. You find yourself singing songs, hymns, spiritual songs. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes upon you and begins to flow through you, and you find yourself making up songs, just singing in the Spirit, which Paul deals with that in 1 Corinthians 14, right? It's part of it. And as you meditate upon the law, and as you study the Word of God, and as you pray, you find yourself just spontaneous worship unto God. And that should translate into our corporate worship time. When we come in together, it's like, man, we just can't wait to be together, just worship God. Notice it said in your heart too, by the way, make a melody to the Lord in your heart. See, that's where real worship is. Again, Jesus dealt with this issue. You don't want to be like the Pharisees, the scribes, who they give lip service unto God, but their heart is far from Him. Instead, our heart is resting in Christ, and therefore we give Him the fruit of our lips, a sacrifice unto praise, worshiping the Lord. Number four, you want to grow in your sanctification? Then we partake regularly of communion, the Lord's Supper. Now, why is that important? Because it seals what we're learning and what we're worshiping and what we're talking about in that corporate hour. And God uses that time to bring a spiritual examination to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 32, it reads, "Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judge ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world." One of the aspects of communion and the Lord's Supper is to have time to stop and to examine ourselves. What is our spiritual state before God? And oh, by the way, you have to judge yourself according to righteous standards. In other words, you judge yourself according to the Word of God. Now look, it is natural and human nature to be lighter on yourself than you are your neighbor. You're perfect, but that guy over there, I don't know about him. I hope the Lord gets him. No, you examine yourself and you judge yourself with a righteous judgment and an objective standard. Because again, if you're writing the test for yourself, of course you're going to make it easy. And so it has to be based on the Word of God. And you judge yourself and you examine yourself, and you will find that there are probably some little things in your heart you were not even aware of. And the Lord quickens that, and the Lord brings it to your attention, and you have to repent of those. And as you do that, you grow in your sanctification and holiness before God. Number five, service. If we want to grow in our sanctification, if we are learning how to become what we already are positionally, then we need to serve. Romans 12 in verse 1 reads, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Some translations will read, "which is your spiritual service," because in the original, service and worship can interchange. So you have this idea of presenting to the Lord your bodies as a living sacrifice. I've said this before. The problem with a living sacrifice is it crawls off the altar, right? Like, here I am, Lord. Oh, wait a second, that hurts. Don't deal with that just yet, God. You know what I mean? But the reality is, as you grow in your holiness and your sanctification before God, you're in a constant state of dying. You're a living sacrifice. You're in a constant state of dying, which, by the way, is really what it means to follow Jesus. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow Him. As those parts of you that are not pleasing to God, that are downright sinful, are being exposed, as you study, as you pray, as you worship, then you repent of that. Kill it. It's called mortify your sins. John Owen, one of the great Puritan preachers, had a great saying, "You best be killing sin, or sin be killing you." Isn't that good? Think about what he's saying. It's so true. You best be killing sin, or sin will be killing you. And that's exactly right. And so therefore, those things that are in our lives, we have to constantly cut off and present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto God. When we live in that state. Then we become vessels, objects, people that God can use for His glory and to advance His kingdom. Now, what are some ways that we can serve God? Just three that are real simple. Number one, engage in the gospel mandate. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." There it is again, too, by the way, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, which necessarily incorporates the Old Testament and the law of God and how it applies to today. So teach and observe all that I commanded you. Engage in that. You don't have an option. If you're a child of God, you have been commissioned by the King of the universe to go and to tell others about Jesus Christ. Be a witness. Let your light shine. Be salt in the earth. And as you do that, God is faithful to advance His kingdom. Number two, show compassion for people. This is important. Show compassion for people. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul tells us, before I read the text, here's kind of the background. Do you remember Paul was named Saul before he got saved, before his conversion? Do you remember what he did? Went around persecuting Christians, killing Christians, or having them arrested and that kind of thing. So he has his conversion, and then he starts preaching, gets ran out of a few towns, goes to this desert for a while, spends some time in the presence of God. He's being taught by the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he's kind of not heard of for a while. Eventually, he comes back into Jerusalem. He's wanted to meet with the apostles and elders of the church and so forth. And they interview him because they're like, "Oh, man, I don't know. This guy used to kill people. What if he's just sneaking in?" That's kind of the thought. Well, they eventually found out, no, man, this guy's been saved and he is called of God. He's commissioned to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And so we're going to let him go, but we just request this one thing of him. Here's what he says. "Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do." In other words, as they go around preaching the gospel, remember to take care of those who are suffering, those who are poor. Minister to them, particularly those of the Jerusalem church that have been dispersed. But pay attention to the poor and to the less fortunate. Have compassion upon them. In James chapter 1 and verse 27, it reads this: "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." And so show compassion for widows and orphans, even those who may not live in an orphanage. We have so many people growing up today in our culture, in homes right here in America, who maybe don't have a father or maybe don't have a mother. We as the body of Christ need to recognize that, and we need to be here for them. Particularly for these young guys that are growing up without a man in the home, we need to show them this is what a godly man looks like. This is what it looks like to be in the kingdom of God and to be a kingdom person, to be a kingdom man. And women, whenever you notice that a young girl has grown up in the home without their mother, you need to teach them. That's biblical. To show them this is what it looks like to be a godly woman and a godly female in the kingdom of God. Have compassion for them. And lastly, bless the church. Listen to this. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, these are ways that we can serve. Engage in the gospel mandate, show compassion for people, and remember to bless the church. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, it reads, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith." Pay attention to your fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, and do good to them. The scripture that ties all of this together is Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. It's long, but man, it makes sense of it all. Listen to this. Paul says, "Put on then as elect," or as God's chosen ones, "holy and beloved, compassionate hearts." Put on compassionate hearts. "Kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." That's what it looks like to be a Christian. Pretty simple, isn't it? I didn't say it was easy. I just said pretty simple to identify what it looks like to be a Christian. Here's point number six. As we grow in grace, as we grow in the knowledge of God, as we grow in our sanctification, practice self-discipline. There are certain things that God requires of you. We all believe in miracles. We all believe in the supernatural. God can deliver anyone from anything in a moment. But more times than not, God brings deliverance through your discipleship. As you walk in the holiness of God, it's still supernatural, it's just not as spectacular. That's why we kind of like, I'm praying for God to deliver me. As soon as God delivers me from this bottle, I'll quit drinking. You go outside in the car after church and crack open your fifth and you drink it. As soon as God delivers me from these drugs, I'll be set free. And you come to church and you go outside and you go buy your heroin. As soon as God delivers me from this lust, I'll quit committing adultery. I'll quit visiting those porn sites. As soon as God delivers me, I'll wait on that miracle. But see, if you're truly saved and you're a child of God, you're a new creation. And the Lord tells you, you put on the new man. You walk in holiness with God. He's given you the power of the Holy Ghost to do it. Listen, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. You must no longer walk as the Gentiles do and the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, to greed, to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him the truth in Jesus. Now, I got to stop right here. That's a really good point. There are a lot of people in the churches in America who haven't really heard about the true Jesus. They don't know the true gospel. They've been told, repent, say the prayer, everything's going to be good. Just go to church, man. Our music is awesome. We have the light shows. Kids get ice cream sundaes every Sunday. Life is great. Now look, there's nothing wrong with having great music. There's nothing wrong with having lights. There sure ain't nothing wrong with ice cream. But that's not the Christian life. Again, so many people in America give lip service to Jesus. So many people in America, even in the church, pray, sing to a Jesus they don't really serve. It's a false Jesus and a false gospel. And Paul's like, look, assuming that you've really heard about the true Jesus, then you, it's an understood subject, right? It's referring back to verse number 17. Remember, he says, you must no longer walk to Gentiles. Then he begins to give some descriptions. And then he says, to put off your old self. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And to put on the new self. Who puts on the new self? You. Now, obviously, it has to be the Holy Spirit does the work in your life. The Holy Spirit converted you. The Holy Spirit saved you. You know, I mean, he drew you to Christ. He called you to Christ. Once you learn Jesus, once you learn the gospel, you begin to put away your former self. Those evil desires. Because that's not who you are anymore. You're a new creation in Jesus Christ. And so now put on the new man and act like it. You put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So on one hand, you're in a constant state of dying. And on the other hand, you're in a constant state of living and resurrection. Because the old man is dying and you're walking in newness of life in the power of the Holy Spirit. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. 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 I know you have it. I know you do. Because most of you had kids and you allowed them to live. All kidding aside, listen, I believe in miracles. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. And I believe in deliverance. And we've seen that, right? And we've seen people come to the altar and commit to Christ, they get saved and delivered. Like all, it's like, bam, there it is. But not everybody experiences that. And that's okay too. If they walk in holiness, they'll find their freedom. They will walk in freedom. It's already been there. Listen, this is going to be crazy. This is going to be crazy, but hear me out. There are some things God wants to do in you that's more important than the act you're doing. And so in the process of you walking out your holiness with God, you find out things about God and yourself. And the actions eventually take care of themselves. Here's my last thing on growing in holiness, and I don't have time to go into detail. I will read a lot of scriptures. To grow in holiness, you need to connect to the church community. Listen, the way you grow in your holiness and sanctification is you connect to a local church to worship God. God set up the system that way, and you don't have an option. Here's a few scriptures, Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. You know this one. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. In context, the writer of Hebrews is dealing with the coming destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. And there was this tremendous amount of pressure to these Hebrew Christians to go back into Judaism. And the writer of Hebrews, their pastor, say, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Stay together. Come together. Worship God as the temptation comes to fall away. Stay together. We need that. In our day and age, man, where everything is negative, everything's bombarded with all the stuff that's happening in the world, one of the ways to combat that is to come to church together, worship together with other people who's as crazy as you are. Had the same like mind and spirit, worshiping God together. And you share life together. And somebody on this side of the congregation is going through something that somebody on this side of the congregation has already been through. And so therefore, they can minister to that person. That's what it's about. 1 Peter 2 and 5 is another great example. You're living stones. We're being built up a spiritual house. Be a holy priesthood, offer spiritual sacrifices. That's part of it. We're being built together. Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 22 is the same concept. We're being built together in this house, in this spiritual temple, to house the presence of the Lord through the Holy Spirit. That's part of how we grow together in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. I know I'm not reading them, I'm just letting you make notes. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Part of the way God designed the system is that he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers and shepherds. And so we ground the church, we mature the church, we teach principles, we teach the truth of the Word of God so that the church can grow in maturity and work together, recognize false doctrine, shun it, work together to advance the kingdom of God. And all of that happens in the context of a local church. You've heard me say this before. We have people in our church that are involved in all kinds of ministries that are doing things outside of the church. Great, that's the point. On Sundays, we have people that are out at other churches or they're in Memphis doing things. They may not be inside the building, but they're advancing the kingdom of God. And great, we're here to support them. We have people that are in jail cells. We have people that are helping recovering addicts as they walk in freedom and Holy Spirit. Great, that's the point. That's what we do, and that's how we grow in holiness. Obviously, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm not going to read it all because it's long. It's verses 12 through 26, pretty simple. It talks about the gifts of the Spirit and how we're one body. And how the Holy Spirit gives out the gifts as he wills for the edification of the church. And so when we come together as a church body, we have different gifts and abilities that are Spirit given. And as we operate in those gifts, it actually edifies the church. It builds us up. It ministers to us. And that's how we grow in holiness. That's how we grow in our sanctification. And the Lord has designed the system that way. So that if you are able body, you are able to be in a church, you should be in a church because that's part of it. That's how you grow in the things of God. Amen? Amen. I realize I gave you a whole lot of information. I'm not just trying to beef up my views or anything like that, but it may do you good to go back and listen to the sermon. I would give you my notes, but a lot of what I say is not in my notes. So it would do you good to go back and listen. As you grow in holiness, you'll find these are real basic principles, but the Lord uses them to grow and mature you. And me, we're all a work in process until the Lord returns or we die. Either way, we're constantly growing and becoming more and more like Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining this broadcast from Grace Chapel, Collierville. For more information about Grace Chapel, visit our website, colliervillegracechapel.org. That's colliervillegracechapel.org.